We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Where does the word citizen appear?
I'll send it to you.
It isn't there.
No, it's not there.
Well, that's what counts.
But it's in the Constitution, the book. It's in the book.
So what?
I got it.
I don't care. It's right here. It's not in the preamble. Okay?
I'll send it to you.
Now, look at that. We sent it. I got it right there. There's the quote. Look, let me tell you something. All right, here's where the hole in my logic in arguing with you.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, it's fair. Okay? The hole in my argument is this, that it could be that the original handwritten Constitution that everybody agreed upon in that big meeting they had in Boston, I think it was. Was it Boston? No. Or Philadelphia. Philadelphia. Yeah, it's Philadelphia. Okay, that big meeting that they had where Benjamin Franklin came out and told the lady it was a republic if you can keep it. That could have the word citizen in it, so far as I know. I've never seen the original. But here's what I do know. I do know that what you see right now is the present day scam. Okay? I'm giving full faith and credit that maybe the original Constitution, the real Constitution, is different. But this is what's advertised. This is what's promoted. If I walk into court and I say, I'm using this, do you think they're going to say, oh no, here's the original? You think they'll do that?
No.
Do you think they're going to blow their whole scam just to win this case? No. So, it's important to understand, again, back to what is law. Law is more than just what you can prove in print. Law takes in other factors. And one of the factors it takes into account is policy. What do the powers that be want? Well, they are, as far as I know, promoting this. I accept it as true. Okay? I run with it. I don't bring in other factors because I am a true believer in the advice of Abraham Lincoln. I'm not going to bring up a point that I don't want to argue. So I'm not going to argue as part of my lawsuit that the original Constitution is wrong and here's what it really says. Okay? I'll roll with the scam as long as it works my way. And this does work my way because we, the people of the United States, now it doesn't say what people are, it only says that they exist. We, the people. And where do we come from? We come from the United States, or in other words, the States United. Okay? And we have a purpose in order to form a more perfect union and so forth. Got a laundry list of tasks to be done. Okay? And we say that we do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
That's a different entity.
That's a different entity. The United States of America is a different entity from the United States. And we're the people from the United States. We took matters into our own hands and we created the United States of America. And we've got this Constitution for them. And notice this. It says, here's the specific words. We do ordain and establish. Ordain, the word ordain means our sovereign decree. Okay? Ordain means make law. Ordain means authorize. Okay? Lots of different meanings depending on context. But the authority came from the people. The sovereign people created this. Now, I can't tell you what people are, but I know the relationship between whatever those people are and the government, the United States of America. So we ordain and establish this Constitution for whom? Not for you, not for me. It was for the United States of America. So there you have the very essence of sovereignty. See, I know I've had some people say, well, I'm not sovereign, God is sovereign. Well, the word sovereign is actually one of those relative words. Sovereign relative to what? So, I'm not sovereign relative to God. but I definitely am sovereign relative to the United States of America if I'm one of the people. Time out for a tape change.
Okay, we're rolling. Forget it. It's not a break. It's not a break yet, you guys.
Okay, does anybody want a break? Is it time? It's 11:45. Do you need a little break of some kind? Why don't we take a 5-minute break, all right?
Before we break,
yes?
Could we decide on maybe setting up a mic in the aisle there and letting people...
We don't have a mic stand, so if we'll put it on the table, that'd be fine.
Because this is really disrupting, passing the mic around.
We don't have a mic stand. He just told you.
We can put it on the table.
We're trying to break it up.
Okay, so let's take an exactly 5-minute break, and then we can roll on. Okay, it is now exactly 12 o'clock by my watch. So 12. We'll have lunch at 1. Okay, we're on the air. Okay, so going back to the subject of sovereignty, the question is people are citizen, which one are you? And this is kind of important, if I can find it here again. There we go. People are citizen, which one are you? So we have the preamble. The preamble basically is what is presented to us. You know, we're not in the position to know everything. We're not in a position to know what it is, you know, is true and what's not true. The best we can do is go to the law library, do our research, and of course use our brains to whatever extent we can in order to get at whatever the truth is. But there are forces in the world much bigger than any one of us. We have to acknowledge that. So in this case, one of the grand forces of the world has presented to me, partly in the school system, partly in the law libraries, that this is the preamble to the Constitution. So whether or not it really is, whether or not it came from an engrossed copy or not, because I've been told that things are different, this is what's being advertised. So I take it on the surface. And when I go to court, I know that the man behind the bench is looking at the same thing that I'm looking at, pretty much. And if I present it, if I say that I'm one of the people of the United States, or one of the people of Arkansas, or whatever jurisdiction we're talking about, I know that they're basically going to accept it. And if they don't accept it, well, then it's time for the truth to come out, right? We'll look at his truth as compared to my truth, and we'll see which one is the true one. And of course, that if it turns out it is different, you can bet there's going to be a big argument about it, right? Because this is what I was told. But you resolve it. Well, my theory is that these guys are not going to blow their scam just to win this one case. Okay? And so if I happen to catch them in a little mistake in how they presented themselves, well, they'll live with that. You know, no one of us is a big factor to their system, so they'll let us go on that point. Well, if they don't let us go on that point and they try to pull rank because of some secret they had, that immediately invalidates them, because now you can say, well, hey, you knew that all along? That wasn't part of my contract with you, if you're saying I had a contract. Okay? And so under normal contract law, it's invalidated. Right? Is everybody clear on that? So anyway, so I fly on that principle. We the people ordain and establish this Constitution for you guys, meaning the government, the United States of America. Well, there is absolutely nothing in the words ordain and the words establish that says that the people gave up their original sovereignty. See, when we broke away from England, we rejected the king. Also, the king rejected us. He issued an order canceling all the charters. So, there we were, cut loose. And, of course, there was a physical fight over it, and a little war, but we won. And so, all I know is that when we broke away from England, there was no system. There were no precedents anymore. So the people were on their own. The people were 100% self-governing. So then there was a few people who were organized, and they called themselves states. Okay? And they did whatever they did. They created this thing called the Articles of Confederation. And that didn't really work out too well. So they sent a committee, they set up a committee to make some modifications to it. And the people who were in that committee said, well, this isn't going to fly either. Let's start over. And so they broke away from their original assignment, their original authority, became independent, started functioning as independent people, independent of the states, and they constructed this thing called the Constitution for the United States of America. Okay? Now, at the end of the Constitution, there's a little provision in there. It says, here's what we've presented. I'm paraphrasing. But it says, here's what we've come up with. We, the people, have come up with this. Now, if 9 of you states out there will come on board with this, it's a go. If we can't get 9 of you to agree with it, well, then we won't do it. Well, 9 of the states, in fact, it ended up being 13 states originally, came on board. They said, it's a go. But you understand, the people were a separate entity. They created this thing, and they invited these individual organizations to join in, which they did. And there's court cases that support that. There are court cases that say that the states contracted in, they can, and there's no provision for them to break the contract, to get out. And they also said that the Constitution was created by the people and not by the states. Okay? That's a given now. So, the people were sovereign in their authority. They created it. And when the people ordained it, that means make law. And when they established it, that means wrote it on paper. There is nothing that says they gave up their sovereignty. The people are sovereign. And when we say sovereign, we mean sovereign relative to the United States of America. Now, all of your state constitutions are written in a similar fashion. They say, various states, they say the people ordain or the people establish this constitution, something like that. It's not written as beautifully as the federal constitution is, mainly because many of their constitutions were written before. The United States Constitution is a very well thought out constitution. The more I've studied it, the more I realize, boy, these guys were real brains. They solved a number of problems. There was also some holes in it, which are, I think, responsible for the problems we have today. But they did a real good job, considering the amount of time they spent. So this is where the fundamental definition of sovereignty comes from. This is what I base it on. Okay? Now, this is also, if you look at the preamble, you'll see that every element of a trust is in there, because that's what the United States of America is. It's a trust. It's a corporation. All corporations are trusts. Okay? They may not call them trusts, but they are trusts. So you've probably heard of a Massachusetts trust or a common law trust and a living trust. Those are trusts too. But corporations, a corporation for profit, a non-profit corporation, those are trusts as well. Yes? Is it over here?
The trusts are all trust corporations.
No. But all
corporations...
He wanted to know if all corporations are trusts, but are all trust corporations? The answer is no. Okay? But here's there's a clever way, a very simple way to determine whether or not the organization is a corporation. One of them is that it could call itself a corporation. That's one way you can tell. Yes?
They call it, I heard a senator say, corporate citizen. Corporate citizen is what you deem us.
Yeah, you can call that too, right. Okay, he's saying that he's heard a senator refer to corporate citizens, okay? That the citizens are corporate citizens. Okay, but anyway, the thing is that you can tell a corporation very simply. All corporations have presidents, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. Well, the vice president is optional, but they have the secretary and treasurer. Well, what's the United States? Has a president, secretary, and treasurer, right? As well as a vice president. And not only that, well, also a country, a true country, has a governor because he governs for the people. Okay? So the United States is actually a public trust, a corporation, and you can see the elements of a trust. Who's the trustor? Well, it's the people, we the people. And what's the venue? It's the United States, the people of the United States. And what's the purpose? In order to perform a more perfect union and so forth. Okay? Who's the beneficiary? Well, it's to ourselves and our posterity. And what's the enabling action? Well, there's two of them. We ordain it and we establish it. Okay? Declare the law and bring it into existence. And what is it? It's the Constitution. And who's the trustee? The trustee is the United States of America. That's it. See? So it's a trust. So there's no authority on the part of the United States of America to take over the people. Simply isn't there. Now, there was a case I remember a few years back where this little boy was he was being abused by his father, okay? And his father, they kept calling the authorities, and the social workers came in and they made their little record, and their record showed a progressively more aggressive abuse. And finally, it ended up the kid was killed by his father, okay? And the record showed it, that he was just getting worse and worse. So the relatives of the child sued the state for failure to do something about this. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. And the Reagan administration, which was the one in which this case originated, they urged the court to hold the state not responsible. Okay? And that's exactly what happened. The Supreme Court said that there is nothing in the Constitution that obligates the government to protect a person's life, even if his life is in danger.
What's the case on that?
I don't know, but I remember it happened. There's plenty of cases. That wasn't the only one. There's others. Okay? See, there's nothing in the Constitution that obligates them. They only have a general obligation. They don't have an individual obligation. Now, that might sound terrible at first, but you know, let me tell you this. When you grant somebody the power to independently decide that you need protection, what happens if they decide to do something for your own good? Okay? You've all seen that cartoon with the gun pointing at you? I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Right? So, it's recognized, some of the greatest minds in history have recognized that government is pure coercion. Okay? You do not want to grant them the power to protect you on their own. They have, because they might overprotect you. What you do want, you want the government to be able to decide to help you if you ask them. To assist you, right. So if two real people are duking it out in the parking lot and there's a policeman nearby, he can't do a thing about that. until one of them hollers for help. Now he can make a decision to help. But that's an independent decision. He could still decide not to help for whatever reason. So there's no nexus there. There's no obligation. So you should understand that. But look here. Here's what the courts have said. All right? The people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereign, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Notice that. What rights do you have? Not all of them, but whatever ones you decide you have. You are the decider of what your rights are. It is your prerogative. See? You do not need a higher authority to define your rights. Your rights are self-defining. Remember, the United States of America used to have a nickname. I haven't heard it much lately. But the nickname used to be the Great Experiment in Self-Government. Okay? Because we are truly self-governing. We govern ourselves. We don't need someone to govern us. Okay? We don't need representatives. We may choose to delegate some work to a representative and have him do some stuff. But whatever he does is not obligatory on me. Okay? So if he screws up and does something I don't like, I can just ignore him. That's the theory. Okay? Now we also know that in actual practice, just like we've outlawed robbery on the streets, people still get robbed, even though it's illegal. So there's definitely a difference between theory and reality. But you have to start with the theory, and that's why we're in this room here. We've got to find out what the theory is so that then we can hold them to it as much as possible. So the theory is that we define our own rights. We are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. Well, since there's no king, it becomes our prerogative. We've inherited that too. Okay? That was Lansing versus Smith in New York. Okay. This is more discussion of what I told you. The enabling actions in the preamble are significant because there is simply nothing in the use of those words, which is ordain and to ordain and to establish. There's nothing in those words that imply that the people relinquished any of their own power and authority. The people declared the law, they ordained it, without taking away from themselves the authority to declare law again in the future. The people established the Constitution without taking away from themselves the authority to establish anything else in the future. In other words, the people give birth to the Constitution without giving up any of their own power and authority. What was before continues to be so today. If they're going to change that, see, if you talk to an attorney and you ask him what is the significance of the preamble, he's going to tell you that there is no significance. Okay? The Constitution is the body of it. That's what counts. The Constitution, the preamble means nothing. It's just an introductory paragraph. It, you know, like putting flowers on something. So, but the fact of the matter is that the Constitution is a fork in the road. Okay? It's a fork in the road. We the people ordained and established this Constitution for you guys over there. Now we the people are still here. Okay? We've created this thing. But if we so choose, we can leave our people position and go under the Constitution and operate according to those rules. But that's a choice that we make, not a mandate. Okay? That's very important to understand that this is what we do by choice. All right? If you owned a business, you created a business, you founded a business, you created it. I'm not talking about a corporation, I'm talking about a sole proprietorship. You owned the business, you created it, grew, and it grew to the point where you had to hire a manager. So you hire this manager, and you tell him what to do. And you got to the point where you've got a reliable manager and reliable staff, and you decide to back off. You don't want to be that close to your own business anymore. So you say to the manager, you know, I think I want a job as a janitor here. And so you go in, and he hires you in as a janitor, okay, and you clean a place and you're happy with that. You're still the owner, but you're happy with that. Now, in that circumstance, you're voluntarily taking direction from the very people you've hired that work for you, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to do that, you're the owner of the business, you can do it. Well, by analogy, you got the same thing with the United States of America and the individual states. You may choose to be a citizen of the United States, just like you may choose to be an employee of your own company. But it's a choice. It's not something that's absolute. You can back off and you can say, "No, I don't want to work there anymore. You know, I've decided to go back to being an owner." Well, that's what you're saying when you say you're going to be a sovereign. And let me show you, I'm going to take you back to an actual case which supports that idea. We'll go to Republic versus Democracy. Now, before I show you that case, I want to show you a little bit about this. Okay, in the Pledge of Allegiance, we all pledge allegiance to our republic, not to a democracy. Well, what is a democracy? That's first. I want to talk about democracy first. Here it is. A democracy is that form of government in which the sovereign power resides in and is exercised by the whole body of free citizens directly or indirectly through a system of representation as distinguished from a monarchy, aristocracy, or oligarchy, and by the way, as distinguished from a republic. Okay? This is straight out of Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition. A lousy edition, but at least they got that right. Okay? 4th edition and earlier is a better dictionary. 5th edition, I like the 5th edition and later copies because they tell me what the policy is. They tell me what the powers that be want the attorneys to know. But the 4th edition and earlier is where I get the law and the cases and that type of thing. So, and then the older the law dictionary is, the probability is, the better it is. I like Bouvier's Law Dictionary, and on the CD that I will be sending you, Bouvier's Law Dictionary is on it, the 1856 version. Okay? So, that it's a very good edition. I believe that is the edition that was accepted by Congress. Okay? Anyhow, a democracy. Well, let's talk, what is a democracy? Well, basically, you can define a democracy as being 51 beats 49. Okay? In a true democracy, 49% of the people have no rights. Whatever they have is granted by the goodwill of the 51. Okay? There is no such thing as rights in a democracy for the minority.
In other words, mob rule versus...
No, not mob rule. It's organized. It's okay, it's majority rule. But it's whatever it's voted on. Okay? So, I know that's a nickname for democracy, but in
excuse
truth,
me, Bill. I wanted to ask you a question. Going back to Bouvier's 1800 edition, was that 1856 edition? Did you say that was that the entire edition that you had on the disc?
So far as I know, it is. So I think it's the entire 1856 edition. I know I had an 1856 edition. I looked at, and I did look up a few words to check it. It was word for word the same, so I assume I got the correct copy.
No,
I didn't create it.
I'm saying, is that the entire edition on the CD?
Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I checked a few words, and it checked out. I didn't look at the whole thing. You know, I mean, I'm taking it on a certain amount of faith. But, you know, I did look up some critical words I thought would be important, and it was all there, word for word, the same as the printed edition I had.
All right.
So, the Bouvier's Law Dictionary on the disc, I think, is complete.
Is the court of record there?
Yeah, you're looking at it, right here.
Okay, that is it.
Yeah, you're looking. Well, I don't have... Oh, I don't know if court of record is in Bouvier's or not. Didn't look up that one. But anyhow, the point I'm getting at here is that a democracy is 51 beats 49. So the minority has no rights. The 51% don't need rights because everything's going their way in the first place. Okay? So you basically have a dictatorship of the majority. Now, that's a democracy. Now, let me explain a republic. Now, one more thing about a democracy. You'll notice it says that the sovereignty